Today I want to talk about kind of what Jacqueline was talking about. Over the last month or so, you know, I've been struggling a little bit mentally. And I actually wrote this message a couple of weeks ago. We had Easter. We had a great Easter. We had a fantastic Easter. We had three services. We had like 670 people in our worship services. And we had, give God a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. But give yourself a hand clap, because that week we asked a lot of our leaders and volunteers to double up on their serving. And everybody, it seemed like everybody invited somebody, you know, each one. And we had more visitors. Lana runs the Welcome Center. You had over, 40? We gave out 44 gift boxes. That means we had, you know, close to 40 families. Maybe a few got two, but it was just a great weekend. And so I want to say thank you, GC members, for reaching out to people, inviting people to come to hear the gospel. And then we celebrated afterwards with 400 to 500 people outdoors. And I'm not sure if that caused why we closed last Sunday. But anyway, we're back open. Amen. But my message that I wrote 2 weeks ago, I think is still relevant for today, and it's called When It Rains. You've heard the phrase, when it rains, it pours. And usually when you say that, you have this idea of rain in a negative context, right? We're talking about usually when problems hit our life. And not just a problem here or there, but it's like a series of problems, right? I mean, we can handle one or two things, but who's been living in a zone where it just seems like it's one after another after another? And because rain comes from above, sometimes we'll look up and we'll talk to the one above and say, come on, God, enough is enough. Anybody with me? Anybody? Anybody's been through that before, or maybe going through it right now? Now, this is for people maybe over 50. Years ago, there was a famous song by B.J. Thomas. You remember the name of it? Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And if you read the words to that song, he was looking at it in the negative. It just seems like, you know, when it rains, it pours, just one thing after another. In fact, the beginning of the song says, raindrops keep falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those, sing it with me, raindrops keep falling on my head. They keep falling. Those were the ones that were over 50. But I think it'd be fair to say that none of us like problems. We don't look forward to problems, right? But we know they're going to come. And so I think it's important to prepare our hearts and our minds when they come. We're not hoping they do, but when they do, how do we respond? You know, it could be a financial problem. Some of you have been dealing with financial problems for years. And maybe you're wondering, man, when is this all going to stop? When are things going to turn around? When are things going to get better? Might be a relationship problem that's just lingering on and on and on. It could be a physical sickness. It could be an emotional thing. It could be a spiritual thing. It could be something happening at home or maybe at your office with your job, maybe at school. And so it's at times, like that song says, it seems like nothing fits or makes sense. And a little bit later in the song, he said, it's as if someone's sleeping on the job, right? Because the rain keeps falling. And so today I want to talk about when it rains. When things in life don't go the way we hope or expect, whether we're to blame or somebody else, how should we respond? And here's why this is important. I believe that the way we respond to them will determine what happens next. If we respond to them in the way that God says we should respond to them, then that will probably determine whether things get better or we stay bitter. It'll determine whether we grow closer to God or we stay distant from Him. And we know when we do that, nothing gets better. And so I want to talk about today, what are some ways we can respond when it rains? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to me on this, and I'm living it out. It's easier to say it than to do it. It's easier to preach it than to live it. But if we'll do it your way, it does work. If we'll trust you in the details, life is always better. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts today and hearts would respond. I'm sure this morning there are people listening online and here live, and they're going through stuff. And maybe they're losing hope. Maybe some have lost hope. Maybe they're wondering, is it ever going to get better? I pray that you would speak to their hearts and give them what they need today to live another day for you and restore hope. Restore hope to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, open to James chapter 1. This letter is from James, the half-brother of Jesus. When he was writing this letter, it was probably 50 years after Jesus had ascended to heaven. He's looking back on life's experiences. The Christian Jews are being persecuted for their faith. They're being scattered abroad, different areas. They're no longer a nation. And they're feeling hopeless. They're going through intense persecution, which is sometimes being put in jail, sometimes killed for their faith. And in his first sentence, James gets right to the point and talks about their attitude. It's not if problems come, it's when problems come. You need to make sure that you respond to them in the right way. While I was writing this message, it was the week of the Masters. And a lot of commentary, you know, they were interviewing a lot of the players. Any golf fans watch the Masters? And a similarity between what I'm talking about in golf is it's the approach shot. It's that next shot that's really important. So you hit a bad shot, you end up in a rough or a hazardous. It's that next shot. It's the attitude of, it's a mental attitude, staying positive. Okay, hit a bad shot, but you know what? This next shot is going to make the difference for me. It's that approach shot. They call it working the angles. There are certain angles that you have to approach the green if you're going to be successful, or if you've hit a bad shot. It's letting that go behind you, and you know what? This next one's going to be my best shot. It's attitude. It's how we respond when adverse things come our way. And so James, you know, winners have learned that. James is talking about how do we do that in life? And he shares three responses that we should have. Again, easier preached than lived. And some of you may not be feeling like, I don't want to do that. And that's fine. But you might want to write this down. This would be a great time to my three responses all start with R. That was something Jacqueline didn't share this morning. But if you'll write down these three R's, write it on that little note sheet, and now tuck it away in your Bible, because there will be a day when you're going to need to remember this advice. Keep it in your Bible. When that day comes, pull it out, and hopefully it'll make sense to you and help you. But James shares three responses that we should have when problems come our way. So if you're taking notes, here's number one: rejoice. That just doesn't make sense. Rejoice? Yeah, rejoice when problems come your way. Here's how he starts his letter. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. There's a lot packed into that one sentence. I remember years ago I was dealing with some issues and I wasn't feeling joy at all. And, you know, people would quote that scripture. Well, brother, just count it all joy. And I'm thinking to myself, if one more person says that, I'm just going to knock them out. That's not really what you want to hear when you're feeling sad. That's really not what you want to hear when your life's falling apart or a dream, an unmet expectation is, you know, rolling around in your life. You don't want to hear somebody say, rejoice. I don't feel like rejoicing. That's why James said, I know you don't feel like rejoicing. That's why you need to rejoice. Because it'll change your mood. It'll change your attitude. It'll change what happens next. Right? Rejoice when problems come your way. Notice it says when troubles come your way, not if. You know, the poet Longfellow, he wrote a poem called The Rainy Day. And one of the lines is, into each life some rain must fall. And he goes on to say, but behind the clouds, the sun is still shining. And we forget that second part. Yeah, it may be a cloudy day for me right now, but the sun is still shining somewhere above those clouds. It's just a matter for there to be a break in the clouds, for the sun to shine through. You know, sometimes it helps just to go outside and get in the sunshine. Amen. Jesus said something like that. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus knew because the world is broken because of sin, we are going to experience brokenness. We are going to experience tribulations and trials. Paul said, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those, in all things, good and bad things. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You're going through something bad. You're going through something awful right now. God's going to turn that around and use it for something good. You may not see it. You just have to believe. You just have to trust. You can't give up. You can't lose hope. Going back to James' letter, he's not saying be glad for your problems. He's not saying, hey, yoo-hoo, I got problems. Let's celebrate. He's not saying that. He's not saying be glad for your problems. He's saying be glad in your problems. Because in your problems, God's going to work something out good. And you don't see it. That's the deceiving thing about it. I don't see it right now. I'm not feeling it right now. We know. But listen, God's telling you in advance, rejoice when you're experiencing this because something good is going to come from it. Look back in your past when you went through something awful. You're not in it now. You're out of it, right? It's like flying through clouds. Eventually you get above it or the clouds go away and you're not in those clouds anymore. This too shall pass. Think back in a time where you went through something awful, terrible, and at that time you thought life was over. But you know now that's not true. You know now you're on the other side of it. So if you're in something right now, just know somewhere down the line you're going to be out of it. And so while you're in it, listen, while you're in it, begin to change your attitude, your approach to how I'm going to live today and how I'm going to live tomorrow. And that is, God, I know I'm in this awful thing right now, but I'm just trusting that you're going to show me why. You're going to show me the purpose of my problem. Right? It's something we don't feel like doing, but it is the right thing to do if you want to pull out of it, if you want to get out of it. Begin to ask God to show you why you're going through it. It says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Look at verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, that's what problems do. They test your faith. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So, what are those next words? Let it grow. Come on, problems. Easier said than done. I'm just telling you. Let it grow. You know, sometimes you got to play mind games with life's problems, right? When you're feeling really down and bad and depressed or sad or whatnot, just to make the devil mad, say, I'm so glad this is happening to me. Oh, that makes the devil mad. I am so glad I'm sad. I am so glad I'm sad. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, devil. Oh, it makes him mad. I'm so glad I'm sad because I know that God's going to grow me through this. He's going to show me through this. And I'm going to be better when I get on the other side of this. Amen. So hallelujah. Praise God for my problems. And it's weird. It's like reverse psychology. But it works. And all of a sudden the next day, guess what? The stronghold isn't as strong. And so you just keep doing that, right? Just keep praising God. And change your confession. I know I'm going to get out of this. I know this too shall pass. I know it. God, I'm trusting you. This is going to pass, and you're going to show me what the purpose of it was so I can be better. Amen? So consider it an opportunity for great joy. And that word consider means it's a choice. And you can choose to be positive about a negative situation, or you can choose to be negative about it. I think it lingers longer when you choose to be negative. You can choose to rejoice and be joyful, or you can stay resentful, right? Problems are inevitable, but misery and sadness and heartache are optional. And so one way we should respond to problems is to rejoice. You've heard the saying, when you're served lemons, make lemonade. You know, one of the saddest days in my life is when my dad died. We were really good, close friends. I loved my dad. He was a good dad. He died at an early age. He died at 54. I was only 23. And it created a big void in my life. But it was the catalyst event that got me searching for spiritual things. And now that life's over on earth, then what? You know, and it put me on a trail to start searching for God. And 3 years later, I found Jesus and I got saved. And so, again, it was a very negative, hurtful event in my life, but it pushed me in a direction for my life to change forever, for eternity, right? And so I'm not saying that God caused that for that, but God allowed that bad situation in my life and he turned it around and used it for something good in my life, right? I made lemonade with the lemons that came into my life. And I know that's true for you. Some of you have experienced that. You know what I'm saying is true. Some of you are going through it right now. Maybe you forgot of an earlier time when that was true in your life. So every once in a while, give a quick look back at a time where you had tough times and got through it and just say, you know what? I can get through this too. Amen? Here's number two, request God's help in your problems. Ask for help. Go to God first. It's also good to share it with a few friends that know you and care about you and love you and just say, hey, I'm not doing well. I wouldn't share that with everybody, but I would find a few close friends, family members that love you enough that you can share that, bring it to the light and say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. See, problems are learning opportunities. Therefore, ask God. God, what are you trying to teach me through this problem? What are you trying to show me through this? I don't see it. I don't get it. But ask God. Ask God. And then ask others to pray for you, right? Some of the most successful people and wisest people are people who have successfully navigated through and overcome their problems. People who have, you know, the term fallen forward, right? We fall, but we get right back up. What did I learn from that? And hopefully your life will be better. You'll be wiser. You'll be smarter. We don't do some of the things now that we did that caused heartache. We learn that. We learn from that. And if you battle, you know, depression or anxiety, it's pretty smart to avoid circumstances that might create those feelings. And you can say no to certain things. You don't have to say yes to everything. Just say, you know what, I don't think I want to do that right now. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Amen? As I was watching the Masters, I thought it was interesting because I was battling a little depression, and they interviewed Bubba Watson. And I never knew this about Bubba Watson. But Bubba Watson went through a season in his life where he battled depression and anxiety for years. And he said, I finally went public with it, and I shared it with a few of my golfing friends and my family, and I prayed. He's a Christian. I prayed to God. He had lost, like, golly, 50 pounds. And he said, I literally thought I was going to die. And I went to my wife and I said, honey, I think I should give up golf. If golf is causing this, I think I should give it up. And she said, honey, I don't think golf is causing it because you love to play golf. She goes, I think what's causing it is because you're a professional and you're under the spotlight all the time, it's the people that are speaking negative into your life that's causing it. So why don't you keep playing golf and just be really careful who you listen to and surround yourself with people who are for you and turn off all the other noise And he said, that was the best advice because I get a lot of joy from playing golf. And so I've just learned over the years, I have to turn off the noise and I don't have to listen to everybody. He goes, I don't look at social media. I don't look at, you know, I just block everything out. And I'm fine now. And so I really appreciate it. And he said at the end, they said, well, are you better now? And he said, I really believe I'm a better individual because of what I learned about myself as I went through that situation. I wouldn't have ordered it if it was on the menu, but it was served up to me. And so I used it for the good. And then here's number three, relax and trust God in the outcome. Again, relax. Rejoice and relax. Those are two things we don't feel like doing. But here's what I mean. I could have said trust God, but I needed an R word. So relax. Let's do this. Let's take a big breath. You know, sometimes they say breathing. Breathing helps your anxiety and depression. Just relax and trust God in the outcome. Trust God to know what's best for you in your situation, and don't doubt Him. You got to believe that God's going to use this for something good. I don't know if you've heard the story about Wallace Johnson. He's the founder of Holiday Inn. But for years, he worked at a sawmill. That was his occupation. That's how he supported his family. One day, he got fired. It was, I think, right after the Great Depression. He got fired, lost his job, thought the world was going to cave in on him. And his wife said, honey, what are you going to do? He said, well, I think we're going to sell our house, and I'm going to go into the building business. And so he did. And he was a believer. He was trusting God. And he built a few buildings, and one thing led to another, and 5 years later, he's a multimillionaire. He started the Holiday Inn hotel chain. And when they went back to ask him how he, you know, got through it, here's what he said. Today, if I could locate the man who fired me, I would sincerely thank him for what he did. At the time it happened, I didn't understand why I was fired. But later, I saw that it was God's wonderful and perfect plan to get me into the ways of his choosing. What he's saying is the greatest thing that happened to me in life was my problem, getting fired. So I'm thinking, man, talking about a mind shift, talking about a focus shift, right? Again, you're going through something terrible. Praise God, this could be the turnaround I need. This could be the beginning of a comeback that I've needed. That'll make the devil mad. Get excited about your problem. Right? If you got problems, rejoice. You got problems, request God's help. You got problems, relax and trust God. James goes on to say, but when you ask God, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. You know, when you're going through anxiety, depression, you're going through big problems, man, you're all over the map, aren't you? One day you might have a good thought, the next day it's all over, it's hopeless. You know, we're tossed around like the waves of the sea. James says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. And so when you're feeling unstable, you got to go and put that anchor down in something that's never moved. It's solid as a rock, and that's God's word, God's promises. And even if it's with somebody's help, find a scripture that you can anchor to as you're going through whatever you're going through. That's what I've done over the last month, is I've gone to God. I've surrounded myself with praise music, praise and worship. I sing even when I don't feel like it. And then I find some scripture in God's word. I remembered, hey, how did I get out of this last time? I can do it again. And then, you know, again, a key to anxiety or depression is you start giving thanks, right? Enter his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. I started just writing down a list because I was thinking, I really don't have a good reason to be depressed. My life is really good, right? I haven't done anything illegal. I'm not running from the law. I've not done anything immoral. I don't, you know, finances are good. Church is good. What's my problem? And I just begin to make a list of everything that was good. And I just begin to say, thank you, God, for it. Thank you, God, for it. Thank you. And so here's just a little principle if you want to take it or leave it. Every day for the next 30 days, write down 7 things Seven things. Seven's the number of completion. Write down seven. If you want to get completely out of your funk, write down seven things every day that you're thankful for and just make that a daily practice for 30 days and then check back with me and let me know, did that help or not? Just begin to give thanks for the things that are well in your life. That helps to shift our focus off our problem and onto the things that are really going good, and it'll help swing that attitude. Amen? And then verse 12 goes on to say, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. That tells me it may take some time. But now that we've heard this message, you're okay with it. Aren't you? Don't you feel a little bit better about the funk you're in? Right? Don't be quick to get out of it, because listen, he's doing something good in it. It's like a crock pot. Listen. Stay in your funk a week or two more. Because God's making something good as you're in it. Don't be quick to get out of it. And while you're in it, say, God, thank you for this. Boy, you must be cooking up something really good, because it's been crocking for a while. I mean, how long does it take to do a good brisket? And I want to leave you with this. Don't forget the purpose of rain. You know, when God said it rains on the just and the unjust, he wasn't talking about problems. What he was really talking about is, I love both the sinners and the saints the same. It rains on the just and the unjust, and it also shines on the just and the unjust. And when you think about rain in a positive sense, what does rain do? It causes things to grow. So when it rains and it pours, just know that God's going to grow something good from it. Try to focus on that, and I believe that you'll have better days ahead. Can you say amen? Amen. If we can have the worship team come back up, we're going to sing one last song. And if I could have some prayer partners, I know we didn't prearrange for prayer partners this morning, but if you're in the audience and you're a life group leader, or you're a prayer partner, or you're a ministry leader, would you come up? I'd like to have maybe five or six, seven prayer partners, both men and women, across the front, spread out. And as we sing this last song, I want to invite people to come for prayer, either to invite Jesus into your life, if you feel like he's not there, or to invite Jesus into your problem and just reiterate what you heard today. Jesus, would you help me rejoice? Jesus, would you help me ask for help? And Jesus, would you help me relax and trust you that it's going to be okay? Would you just come for prayer before you leave today? I love you, and I'll see you next Sunday.